Okay, welcome back. So, I just want to finish up now before we really get into the practical how to. And I just want to complete with a discussion on the mystery of love revealed. You see, we think we know what love is. We use that word very often. Many of us use it every day, several times a day. I love you. But love in itself is a mystery. And it says God is love. So this is the nature of life, the nature of the spirit of life. If we're not experiencing freedom and peace in every facet of our lives and in every facet of our world, the single reason is that we are not enough love. We are not a pure expression of love. None of us. We haven't achieved that level of seamless oneness with the spirit of life. No one has yet. So, or let's say, not enough of us have yet in order to witness the complete transformation of this world. And so this is really what it's all about. So rather than pretending that we know it all and we are these, wise beings and lovers, it behooves us on this great journey to humble ourselves and own up to the fact that we don't know, and that it is a mystery, and that that mystery has been revealed in us. And in fact, this is the greatest part of it all, the fact that it is a mystery, and that we need to be guided along this path, and that we need to constantly surrender ourselves to this great guiding invisible presence that actually is love itself. And as we surrender more and more, as we die to who we believe we were, and we allow ourselves to emerge, to be resurrected as who we actually are, or a purer and purer version of that, this great mystery is revealed in us. So we can literally crucify ourselves every single day on our own spiritual practice. We can literally crucify ourselves multiple times a day through our own spiritual practice and be resurrected, born again, renewed as a glorified, a slightly more glorified version of ourselves as we go deeper and deeper and deeper into the wholeness of this mystery, which can only be fully experienced when all of us are experiencing that simultaneously. That means the whole world is full of people in this state, and that the reality of life is a direct mirror of that. And the way things appear now, that's impossible. How far away from it are we, in all honesty? How long has it taken you to get to where you are today? You see, it seems absolutely impossible in many respects. Well, it is from that state of consciousness that is stuck in all of this mess and this illusion that we call reality. But to the oneness, to your divinity, to divinity itself, it's not even a possibility, it's an actuality now. It's actually occurring right now on some level for us all. You see? And so all we need to do, all you need to do, all need I need to do, all anyone needs to do who's on this path is to take care of themselves. is to focus on themselves. We can't change anyone else. We can't change the world. Yeah, we can gain these small victories, seeming victories in the on this, you know, this seeming battlefield. But in order to really win the war, in order to really achieve what we're yearning for, that is an internal process that only you can accomplish within yourself, for yourself. And it is a process of the mystery of love being revealed in you. And this is a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful part of life. So, we talked about the destruction of form as a natural consequence of this movement within ourselves, this reorganization within ourselves. The destruction of form is simply an expression of divinity expressing itself in a less denser, you know, less limited container, which to us is the evolution of consciousness. So from our side, the personality side, our consciousness is evolving as we become more aware of these things, as we experience more of this wonder, as we embody more of the deeper truths and the vibrational power of it all, as our spirit you know, becomes more and more present within us, as we become more and more alive. It seems like there's an evolution of consciousness going on. And on one side, that's true. But on the other side, all we're doing is opening the door for spirit to come in. And spirit doesn't want to express in a dense container because it is an invisible, free, etheric thing or non-thing. It doesn't want to be in a cage. It's like keeping a wild animal in a cage. That thing wants to be running around or flying around. It doesn't want to be in a limited container. It wants to be in an unlimited container. That's the nature of this spirit inside us. It wants to be free. And this is what true freedom is. So this is why there's the destruction of form, as we witness the limited containers and the denser forms being destroyed. You see? We're going into unlimited, less dense vibratory forms. So, the mystery of love revealed is a mystery we become. And this brings us now to the how-tos. I'm going to give a little introduction into the how-tos here. You see, if we want... We all want more love in our lives. We'd all love to see more love expressed by people and in the world. We'd all like to be experiencing more love ourselves. But what does that mean? Does it mean, you know, like having more sex? You know, what does it mean? How do we experience that? Well, what the teachers have told us and what the science has validated is that this vibrational shift from discordant patterns, the feelings and the thoughts, into harmonious patterns has to occur literally within the cellular structure. So there's a physiological change that goes on. Anyone that's been in love knows all about the physiological changes as we feel those giddy feelings and those particular hormones running through us. And they also know about, you know, falling out of love and brokenheartedness and, you know, how swiftly things can change. And the flip side of love, the dark side of love, these are all... You know, feelings that can flip around wildly, and the difference in the states of consciousness, the states of being, when you're in love and out of love. So these are physiological effects. When I was studying DNA in the 80s, came across some amazing data from Stanford University that basically identified the fact that in these normal waking states of consciousness, with these discordant organization of our psyche, most of us are functioning in less than 2% of our available genetic potential. That means there is an energy potential within the cell, within the DNA, within the cell, that is 98% of it is dormant. It is not being experienced by the physical body. It's a power source that isn't being tapped into. It isn't flowing into the cellular structure. And therefore, you know, we don't feel alive to the degree that we would do if this energy was running through us. Well, imagine if you had 50 times more energy running through your system. Would you even be able to handle it? 50 times more love, 50 times stronger, 50 times happier, 50 times healthier, 50 times more creative. 50 times, that's what that's saying, the 2% versus the 98% that's dormant. And this is where that phrase junk DNA was coined. You might have heard about that, where 98% of our genetic material has no known function and therefore is junk DNA. You know, God's made a mistake. Whoever made this thing, wasted 98% because it's not working. Well, it's not working because it's an energy potential. It's a power source that is not flowing through your biological structure because your feelings and your thoughts are preventing it from doing that. This is a fascinating thing. So as we adjust our feelings and thoughts, this energy can flow through us and we become more divine, more spiritualized, more energized, more alive, more powerful, more capable of doing so much more, of affecting the world in such a, you know, much more dynamic way. You see? And this is part of the mystery of love being revealed in us. So if that's the potential, or let's see, the quantifiable potential that even science, with its very rudimentary powers of observation compared to what there actually is in there, even science can say, well, you know, we're only functioning on 2% of what there is there already. If that is the potential, that's the possibility, then how do we get from here to there? What do we actually do in order to do that? Well, again, these same scientific studies gave us a huge, huge insight into that, because what these scientists did, they started bombarding these cells with vibrations, with sound and light frequencies, okay? Vibrations of energy in sound and light. And what they found was that high frequency, short wavelength vibrational energy, when it was directed at the cell, short frequency, high wavelength, actually reorganized the gene codes in the DNA, reorganize the gene codes, which is like changing the combinations on a combination lock. These combinations were changed through this vibrational interface, and this energy potential, this electricity within the cell, actually flowed through short wavelength, high frequency sound and light vibration. Now, what that translates to inside of you as a physical human being is your thoughts and feelings and your internal dialogue, the self-speak, the voices you hear in your head. The voices you hear in your head, your thoughts and your feelings, these are vibrational. This is vibrational energy that absolutely hits every single one of your cells instantaneously. All of your cells are bathed in this stuff as soon as you're engaging in it. So 24/7, your cells are soaking in vibrational energy caused by the way you think, the way you feel, the way you speak, and of course the way you act, the things that you do. So short wavelength, high frequency vibrational states translates to higher states of consciousness, joy, bliss, love, inner peace, exhilaration, aliveness, happiness. These are short wavelength, high vibrational states of being. If you measure your feelings with an instrument, high frequency, short wavelength patterns equate to those higher emotional and states of consciousness, psychological states of consciousness. And so if we're stuck in fear, anxiety, frustration, bitterness, anger, jealousy, greed, all of these lower feeling states, then that is the vibrational energy that's hitting our cells and preventing this good stuff coming through. So even science has validated this spiritual process. And so this is very good news for us. It makes us realize, wow, how simple it is. So the movement from here to there, very briefly, and I'm going to break this down in the next audio file into the how-tos, is a movement out of current dominant feeling states into newer, higher ones that literally open the gates of possibility within your DNA, literally change the coding sequences within your DNA, which is genetic coding sequences. They are your gene codes, and they are an organization, a structure, a mathematical structure of four base chemicals within there. I don't want to get too technical with the scientific stuff, but this is being very clearly mapped. It's very well understood, and it has been proven scientifically multiple times. Dr. Bruce Lipton's done a lot of work into this, cellular biologist. The DNA researchers have done a massive amounts of work into it. Candace Pert, with her molecules of emotion and all the stuff that she does, has validated all of this scientifically, and it corroborates what we know and what we recognize and what many of us experience ourselves just by shifting our and reorganizing the psyche, the feeling states, and the thought patterns. Many of us have experienced this and experience this on a daily basis, and it proves why healers can do what they do, because they're holding these states of consciousness, they're existing in these states of consciousness, and why masters have the effect on people that they do, because they are existing in these states of being, and that this consciousness is not restricted by space and time. That means you can talk to someone on a phone, or you can even listen to an audio file like this one. And you can be affected by the state of consciousness that is vibrationally recorded in these words and in this space. And this is a wonderful thing. And we're going to get deeper and deeper and deeper into the experiential as we get deeper and deeper and deeper into the how-tos. But just to finish this, just to round this off, the fundamental tool, the main thing to focus on that goes with your sensitivity, your tenderness, your breath, and your deepening of your sense of self within yourself, and this feeling of love, the main anchor point for this feeling of love is forgiveness. It's the epicenter, the core of compassion. And if you are in other than this higher state of being, and you want to get there very, very swiftly, the fastest and most effective tool is to use a little combination, a little mantra, that the Hawaiians, the ancient Hawaiians, referred to as Ho'oponopono. Now, Ho'oponopono itself, if you research that and have a look at that, or if you go and see some of the old school Hawaiians will be a long, in-depth process that requires education and structure and form and has different prayers and is quite complex. But the essence of it, which is what I'm really into, you know, all of these teachings, all of these wonderful systems have been, their simple beauty and power has been complicated. Jesus' teaching's absolutely a case in point. He just gave two very specific, very effective guidelines to live by. To love the Lord thy God with all your heart and mind and soul, which means love that divinity within you with full commitment. That means all of the time, focus, attitude, attitude, focus. Commitment, commitment, commitment. Consistency, continuity. That was number one. And then the only other guideline he gave, and this one happens as a natural consequence of doing the first, so really you only need the first one, is to love others as yourself. And that was it. Now, just those very, very, very two simple guidelines have been caught up and are caught up in mountains and mountains and mountains of complexity, philosophical, theological discussion, metaphysical possibilities, conceptions, this, that, systems, religions, blah, 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 blah. Millions of books and lots of confusion. And it's the same with just about everything else. All spiritual truth, all of it, of any real genuine potency, boils down to utter simplicity. So I'm just going to give you the utter simplicity relating to the Ho'oponopono system. And it's these four very simple statements. I'm sorry, please forgive me, I love you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. I'm sorry, please forgive me, I love you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. When you say that to yourself, to anyone, silently, to any situation, silently, if you say it from depth, from that concentrated point of faith within yourself, and that tenderness, the beauty of that tenderness, reaching for that concentrated focal point within you, that certainty, that burning certainty, if you say it with enough tenderness, enough genuine, authentic tenderness, you will immediately experience a shift in state, a shift in consciousness. And you can quickly drop the I'm sorry, please forgive me, and get into I love you, thank you, thank you, thank you. I love you, thank you for loving me. I love you, thank you for loving me. But it's living from depth that really counts. And when we get into the how-tos, we're going to be appreciating a little more what it means to live from depth and experience that that movement from where you might be stuck today into this incredible possibility that can very swiftly, absolutely and utterly enrich your life. So there's a little more of the clues into the great mystery of love being revealed in us through this wonderful, amazing process. So we'll take another little break, have another little contemplation and consideration.